What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, mostly gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Teeing It Up with CNV. I'm your host, Connor, the C, as always, with my co-host, Vladimir. We're in August, mid-August, getting closer to football, our favorite time. How are you? How have you been?
Doing well. We're gonna talk about our favorite topic. We're gonna talk about the 2025, 2026 Detroit Pistons, and we're gonna have a nice little preview session here. I kid. Everybody would have clicked off if we actually did that. No, we're bringing back the NFL. We're gonna go a little out of order considering college starts first, but we're gonna do our little NFL preview, go through the divisions, go through the teams, give out our, I guess, predictions for standings at the end of the season and see what happens.
We're
So,
skipping out on the lines today, correct? Just so people know. Or are we going
correct.
to go? Okay. I like that. We'll still do the other NFC North teams. But yeah, I don't have anything about myself that we could just kind of get into it if you want to.
Let's do it. What division? Where are we starting?
I'm just going to start at the top of where this chart I'm looking at says. So it has the AFC East first.
All right.
Hold on one second.
All right, we're starting with the Bills because it's the easiest team to talk about.
Podcasting.
We'll start with the Bills because it's the easiest team to talk about. They rode Josh Allen's best season of his career where he finally limited the turnovers and he put down maybe the gunslinger and realized that it's okay to beat teams on second and third down. It doesn't always have to be first and nuclear. So that was great. That was probably one of their best teams. And as long as Josh Allen does that again, there's no reason this team isn't going to be sitting there thinking Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. They've been a relatively lame, not even a football thing to add, relatively lame hard knock so far. I guess that's what you get when you have two good team or two a good team, and there's just like not as many, I guess, problems to talk about or things to address. And when you have the best player, I'm gonna say in football at the moment, in my opinion, yeah, I don't. Sorry, I kind of got sidetracked there. Did you just talk about the Bills, or did you go into the other
No,
teams?
I went just Bills. I think we're on the
Okay.
same page where this is the easiest team to talk about in the division. There is no really scrutiny behind them. There is no question marks. It's Super Bowl or bust.
No, I know. I think they've had some injuries on defense, and I know they've looked a little shaky in the preseason. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on, but that's just nitpicking to nitpick. So. Do we want to go with who I think is going to come in second place in this
Sure,
division?
let's hear it.
I do think the Miami Dolphins find a way to come in second place in this division.
Wow.
There are a ton of problems and a ton of question marks, and they're completely unproven as far as what they can do in important situations, let alone in any situation. I'm not sure where people are at on Mike McDaniel. This is kind of his last chance for me. Holding him in some fairly good regard this season. Obviously, the biggest story I think is Tyreek Hill and what is he going to be after a super down year? Obviously, Tua was hurt this for most of that season. I guess that's probably the second biggest storyline is will Tua stay hurt? They've got a ton of holes on defense. I see this team winning nine games, and I actually think there's not a team in this division that's going to be a bottom four. Bottom five picker. So that's why I kind of have this group after the Bills clunk together, but the Dolphins are where I see being second or who I see being second.
Interesting. So I think team number two, and this is our first disagreement. I think this is a team that's going to implode, and I think it's for the reasons you started
Very
with.
possible.
Tua Tagovailoa, as we know, is always one hit away from having his fingers go into origami mode and having to potentially medically retire. You talk about the Tyreek down year. There was also the Tyreek off-field problems where he publicly said he wanted out, and then he apparently walked those statements back. But like, guys in the locker room are still like, well, you don't just get to say that and then assume that you say, oh, sorry, team, and you're right back into our good graces. He's still talking publicly about some of the players, most notably Devon Achane, and how he can't be a goal line back because he's tiny. You talk about the lack of defense, really. The offensive line doesn't give me massive hopes.
No.
I don't think they've really invested heavily in that, considering they need to protect their quarterback. I think it's kind of it's kind of the perfect encapsulation of Miami as a city and maybe even the college football team. It's a lot of sizzle. It's all the super offense and these speedsters, and we're gonna beat you over the top and throw into perfect windows, but it never actually amounts to anything. And like you said, I think this is year four of the regime. Gone are the days of them threatening NFL points records and these incredible offenses, because the NFL just said, all right, well, we're gonna make you go down the field in 15 plays. You're not gonna beat us in one. We're all gonna put two high safeties and good luck. And Miami has not found a way to work with that yet. I mean, you talk about another thing that I'm not even sure you're aware of this. Do you know who their starting tight end is projected to be?
No, I can't.
Darren Waller.
Oh.
Yeah, Darren Waller in 2025. That's what we're rolling out at tight end, guys.
Yeah.
I
They
just.
haven't really had a ton of luck. I mean, Gesicki was okay for a few years, but they haven't really ever had a big name tight end there. But yeah.
Sure, but a guy who was making rap videos 8 months ago, is this what we're
Yeah.
doing?
That's like on his third leg at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, so this is where I think the Dolphins implode. I think this is Mike McDaniel's last year as a head coach, and
Wow.
he
That was
goes.
my question to you. That was going to be my first question.
Yeah. Where do we go next?
Let's go with the team I see improving the most in this division. That's the New England Patriots. They obviously are one of the teams with the new head coach this year. They bring back a rookie quarterback who showed what I would call a fair amount of promise. They've gotten some weapons around him when Stefon Diggs isn't hanging out with, is it Nicki Minaj that he's dating? No, Cardi B. Sorry. Cardi B. They've done an okay job drafting and trading to solidify an offensive line for their young quarterback. And they bring in a guy who is going to instill culture and toughness. I don't think this is anywhere near a playoff team. But they're also not going to be a four-win team like they were last year.
All right. I agree with the that this is the team that takes the biggest step up, and I'm a little higher on them than you are. I think this is all about Drake May, and if he does what people think he might do, and all the, like you say, that he played very well in a bad situation last year. He's apparently tearing up the preseason camps for take that with a grain of salt, because they're wearing special red jerseys and it doesn't matter because they can't get hit. So take it with a grain of salt, but I think this team can sit there, win 9-10 games, and make a playoff spot if Drake May takes the step that people expect him to. Like you said, at the top of the draft, you get Will Campbell, then you follow that up with Travion Henderson to be your Jahmyr Gibbs to your David Montgomery and Ramondre Stevenson. You talk about Mike Vrabel coming in and being a player's coach, and for lack of a better term, just not being Gerard Mayo. I think this team has incredible corners with Christian Gonzalez and former Lion Carlton Davis, probably one of the better 1-2 punches at corner in the league. The defense is, it's not Bill Belichick elite defenses, but it's also not going to be Swiss cheese. So I think it comes down to Drake May, and I believe in Drake May. And so I also have the Patriots finish, or not also, I have the Patriots finishing second in the division. And I think that they are going to sit there and compete for a wild card spot with 9 or 10 wins. And it's just going to be a loaded AFC. And we'll see if 9 is enough or if 10 is going to be the magic number.
And then to what I think is the biggest wild card for me in this division, that's the New York Jets. They also bring in a new head coach, somebody that we're familiar with, and Aaron Glenn. Seems like he's actually done an okay job in the stuff I've read on instilling some kind of culture and being a culture guy. Obviously, he comes from, Dan Campbell the last few years, so he understands the importance of that. Their big storyline, again, at the most important position, is the Aaron Rodgers saga is over. They bring in Justin Fields. They're going to give him a chance. He's got weapons around him like Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. But I personally am not, I think it's going to be a lot of sizzle at times, like we just talked about with the Dolphins in this Fields era. And I the defense will be good, but I don't think it's quite what it was 2 years ago when everyone was like, oh my God, Rodgers is could have the Rodgers season when he was out, and it was like they were losing games 10-7 with Zach Wilson playing. I don't quite see it quite there yet, but at the same time, I don't think Justin Fields is going to be awful. He's being put in a relatively decent situation, but I do think it's a lot of new, and it is the Jets at the end of the day. So I can't see them. I also don't think they're going to be 3-4 win team, but I don't necessarily see them sniffing a wild card per se.
I think this is where I think we agree in the sense that there is wild card, but we'll start with Fields. You say they put him in a great situation. You've got your Garrett Wilson that A, they know each other from college, but B, is a good enough receiver that he can play the DJ Moore role of just force feed him balls. You have Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, who can give you a little bit of a rushing attack to kind of take a little bit of the onus off Fields himself. They've invested in the offensive line, back-to-back first-round picks on offensive tackles in Fashanu and Membu this past season. You talk about the defense where the players that existed 2 years ago were still there, and I think that there was a little bit of quit to this team last year once they got or once Rodgers or I'm not going to pin this on Rodgers, but it probably was him once Robert Saleh got fired because Rodgers was upset at something, and I think the team just kind of said, "Well, screw this." Then you go to the coach where if Aaron Glenn is this player's coach that takes from the Dan Campbell tree of motivation and people want to be there, want to play for him, we're willing to run through brick walls and whatever they need to do to play for him. This team, like you said, has the potential. There are makings here of a team that can fight, be feisty, and get to that 7-8 win total. But like you say, I don't really see playoffs with Justin Fields at quarterback.
Okay, so we do agree on something there. Let's go to my next division, AFC North. Some good teams. I'll start with who I think is going to win the division. I think we're going to have different teams for this. And I think it's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh.
Not because I don't have anything against Baltimore. We'll talk about them second, but I think Joe Burrow, I think a healthy team this year is going to take a step up from last year. I do think there's just going to be a little pressure, and I'm choosing to believe that they're not going to start off like they have in past seasons. I just think there's going to be a little different edge after the way last year went and how talented that team was. The biggest question for them is, did they address the defense enough? I mean, they were quite literally like that Ravens game at the end of the season had so many games where it was Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins down the stretch having to win them games. And I like my chances if those are my three guys to win a lot of games. And I just see them taking a step up this year and having a sense of urgency at the beginning of the year that they didn't have. And I think Baltimore might come out a little sleepy this year. So that's all I got.
So I've got the same thing noted with the Bengals. It's all about that slow September start where they dig themselves into such a big hole that you're playing catch up before the leaves have turned, and that's plagued them the last 2 seasons. But you're right, the offense is incredible. The one name that you didn't mention that I think is going to be great this year for him is Chase Brown. He came along and is kind of that perfect piece in a pass first offense where yeah, he'll run, but he can also square up, protect Joe Burrow a little bit, and then bounce out himself and catch some passes. And he's incredibly explosive after he catches the ball, or once he takes off with it. So it's probably the best offense in football. Like you mentioned, there were those games where Burrow's putting up 40 points and they're still losing, and it's like, all right, guys, what are we doing? And so we'll see. I know they invested their first round pick in Shamar Stewart, and then proceeded to play a nice, fun game of "I want guaranteed money." No, you don't get guaranteed money. And I think, and no, he did finally sign because Judkins is the last draft pick that isn't signed. But there's the makings there of something to be an improved defense. But we've said that for 3 straight seasons, so I'll believe it when I see it.
To Baltimore, I don't like have too much to say. They're kind of just are what they are, and that's a pretty well-oiled machine. I'm just, as far as they're gonna be a playoff team, and beyond that, it's unfortunately at this point I believe it when I'll see it. That regime is there. A lot of the pieces on defense are still there. You've got what we kind of classified as that tier one quarterback with Lamar and Derek running the ball. He's got weapons around him, and they're just kind of are what they are for me. And I'll believe it when I see it, as far as them being something more.
Yeah, I just really labeled this. This is about as run it back as an NFL situation will ever get. That you kept the squad together, Ronnie Stanley, Nnadi Matabike. You bring in Jaire Alexander, who's electric for 6 games a season, and then he gets hurt. Kind of a term that I just used for the Bills. It's Super Bowl or bust. And as you also say, I'll believe it when I see it, so probably bust.
To what I think is probably, well, two interesting teams then out this division. I'll go with the Steelers. The Aaron Rodgers era is upon us. He's got some weapons. Some weird things are going to happen this year. They're going to be the story. They're a well-talked about team in general. Tomlin's always one for quotes. Aaron Rodgers is one for quotes. He compared himself to Joe Biden the other day. Somehow, I don't know how that works, but I think they're going to be terrible and take a step back. And this is that first year that you don't see them in that. Like, why are they trying to be 9-8 and make the playoffs roll? I'm out on Rodgers. I think if you are in on Rodgers, you're crazy. I know if you look at some of the analytics from last year, it really wasn't that bad. It actually was relatively good. But that didn't result in football wins. And I don't think at 41, 42 years old, it's going to.
Yeah, I've kind of got a similar thing where I don't know if they're going to be bad because I do still think that defense is borderline elite, even though they continue to get a year older. It's funny because they replaced one hothead wide receiver with a slightly better hothead wide receiver.
Slightly older one, yeah.
He's better too, to be fair. But yeah,
Yeah, that's true.
I just. For the sake of the memes, I'll just say 9-8 just because I really want it to happen again.
Well, like we established, I think in this AFC 9-8 will not be in, but Cleveland, I don't know, man. They are when you don't have the most important position figured out, I can't really lean on you for or trust you for anything in my analysis. I mean, we got Myles Garrett driving 200 miles an hour. We've got Shedeur Sanders looking like the best player in camp and then getting hurt. We have Joe Flacco looking like at whatever age he is at this point, he's going to be the starting quarterback. I don't really have a ton to say about the Browns. I don't see it getting that good. I do think, like, long term, they have some young pieces that I think will be good eventually, maybe, but I don't know, man. This is a bottom feeder team for me again.
Yeah, I just labeled it classic Browns. Quinshon Judkins decides to not respect women before he's even signed an NFL contract. But to be fair, that's been cleared up now. So please don't sue me for slander. This was just allegedly disrespecting a woman. You mentioned the quarterback party. Like you mentioned, there is still a defense that as pieces to be elite, Denzel Ward, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Myles Garrett. You draft Mason Graham, so almost like the Steelers with just what is probably going to be an even worse offense. Like you said, if you have four quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. Also, I don't know if you saw they signed Isaiah Bond because he also beat the allegations. So it's like I don't under it's absolute parity with this team and all of the problems and problematic people they end up drafting or signing or just dealing with. It's
They
incredible.
went downhill just so fast, and now they're just nowhere close again in Browns land.
Yeah.
So
I guess I have one positive to say before we move to the next division. At least they got the Jaguars first rounder when they moved off of Travis Hunter at number two.
yeah, good. AFC South, a pretty unpredictable division, I think. I'll start at the top for me. I'm assuming it'll be for you. That's the Houston Texans. We argued, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, about CJ Stroud. I think even though I didn't have him as high on my list, I still hold him in high regards. I think I believe in them, but not as far as I can throw them. I think they're just going to benefit from what I think is the worst division in the AFC by quite a bit, actually. I mean, I guess you could bid north with those two teams, but He's got his weapons now. It feels like the receivers will be healthy. They've done a better job of putting guys, protecting him a little more. I think you see a season that is slightly better than last, and people go, "Oh my God, CJ Stroud's good again." And you'll be like, "Well, he was good. You just called it a sophomore slump." So that's all I got.
Who did they sign to protect him? Unless I'm missing something, the first thing I was going to do is go at their offseason of not addressing.
I thought they drafted somebody. Let's look it up. But go ahead.
I'm pretty, basically, so unless you come back and tell me they did draft someone, the way I understood it was you had a putrid offensive line and then you turn around and traded away
They drafted
Laremy
somebody in the
Tunsil.
second round.
Okay. I
But I wouldn't have known that. So that was, I'm not correct. You're correct.
I didn't understand how you got Stroud killed for most of last season, and then you turned around and replaced him with, or you replaced your best tackle. On the flip side, like you say, you completely revamped the receiver room, and that's a different thing that they were plagued with. Tank Dell out, Stephon Diggs out. They were kind of down to bare bones. Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie at the end of last season. You double dip with the Iowa State receivers and Higgins and Noel. You bring in Christian Kirk. You hope maybe Tank Dell's injury allows him to come back. That was so ugly, though, that I don't think it will. And with that said, you still have D'Amico Ryans. You have that good offensive line, or that defensive line with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Probably one of the better 1-2 punches at defensive end in football. And even though it sounds like I was mostly negative on this team, I agree with you. This is because of how bad this division is. This is my pick to win the division for a third year in a row.
To the only team I see even having a chance, that's the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're kind of a huge unknown for me in the wild card for me because there's some belief I have with Brian Thomas and maybe Trevor Lawrence being healthy and being the golden boy, I guess if you could call him that, that they can have an offense that can win games and make them into not necessarily a legit contender in the AFC, but again, in that division, a team that can win 10, maybe even 11 games. But I could also see this going full Jags and Trevor Lawrence kind of staying in this, I'm going to call it a realm of mediocrity that I think he kind of plays in. And we'll see what they do with Travis Hunter. I think that's probably the one of the bigger things to watch out for. I haven't seen great things, to be honest. I don't know what you've seen with Travis Hunter so far.
I mean, I haven't paid a lot of attention. I don't care much for preseason football and especially camp videos, but I'm going to assume that he's predominantly on offense to begin with. Maybe he makes his way more towards a 50-50 split at the end of the season. But it is, like you say, it is a unique thing where we certainly have not seen a player that has the ability to play both ways in our lifetime. So it'll be interesting to see. And because it's Travis Hunter, because it's coming from the Deion Sanders hype train, there will be a lot of spotlight on it. And like you say, it'll come down to Trevor Lawrence of this is, I don't want to say his last chance, but this is where it's you're onto another coach. This is supposed to be the QB whisperer. And if you can't do it now after they've given you all these picks and an improved line, what are we really doing here?
Then that Duval meme is going to get worse and worse as the season goes on. To the next team in that division, the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know fucking jack shit about them. Sorry for my language. They have the most pathetic, probably the most pathetic, maybe besides the Browns, pathetic QB battle in the NFL going on right now. Would you say that? Between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. It's so funny that Anthony Richardson this time last year was like fantasy QB number four, and now he's a guy that just quits on plays when he wants to sometimes. And so I mean, they have Michael Pittman, they have Jonathan Taylor. Like I don't think they'll be god awful. They weren't god awful last year. But like they're just kind of a nothing burger. You don't have a good player at that position that I don't really see them being too much of a threat. I don't know if you think anything different.
No, I'm completely with you where if you don't have the quarterback position sorted out, I cannot respect you in the NFL. And not only not sorted out, like you say, Anthony Richardson, and I've been one of the leaders of this guy's a fucking bum, but he's one of the worst passers ever, ever. And then you bring in Daniel Jones to compete with him. Yikes. Like you said, there are some good players. There's some cool receivers there. There is a nice running back, some guys on the defensive side that are good enough. But if you're going to be sitting there struggling to get to 20 points every week, I don't see how you win many football games. So I'm in complete agreement here. I can't respect this team at all.
And then to the bottom feeders, a team I think will probably be there again as they were this past year, the Tennessee Titans. Don't really have a ton going for them. They're still in rebuild mode. Obviously, it's the Cam Ward show. I have zero clue how he'll be, to be honest. I have him in our Dynasty League, so I'm going to hope he shows some promise. But I'm not super, I don't think he's a for sure bust, but I'm not that optimistic on him. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the if I had to be negative, as I typically tend to be, I don't believe in Brian Callahan. I think firing Vrabel to bring
Sure.
that in was an issue. Like you said, I don't think the team around Cam Ward is great. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett in the old-timer receiver room. I guess you have
It'll be
Jeffrey
helpful
Simmons.
for a rookie, but it won't win you football
Yeah,
games. That's
it's not going to move mountains. So I think I probably agree with you where the Titans are once again picking near the top of the draft.
To the AFC West, a fun division. I'll start at the top. The Kansas City Chiefs, rinse and repeat. I don't have a ton to say. Taylor Swift really it released a new album on Travis Kelce's podcast. So how into football this kid is, I don't know. He had all the comments this offseason of how he hadn't taken off seasons as seriously. He was more focused on being a celebrity the last two. And he did take it seriously this summer, so I don't know how much that means at 34 years old. But you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Andy Reid, you have the pieces that you have elsewhere. I'm not even going to try and list them. They're going to be. I don't think they're going to get away with 15 wins this year. Nor do I think they're the best team in the AFC. But they're going to be a playoff team. And as the saying goes, the Chiefs are inevitable.
Yeah, not much more to say there. I guess the one news from today is Rashee Rice's
Yeah,
disciplinary
so
hearing is
I didn't really see that.
it's set for September 30th, which means he is going to be able to play at least the first four games, and then the one arbiter is going to decide how long his suspension is. So I guess they get Rashee Rice back from injury, but they're going to lose him to suspension at some point in the season.
This was domestic abuse?
No, his was the car crash and then driving
Oh,
away.
okay. Oh, did he kill somebody?
I don't think he did, but he was doing borderline Jordan Addison speeds, got into a massive wreck, and then just drove off like a dickhead.
Jeez. Okay.
But go team, right?
Yeah. Okay. I
As long
guess.
as you can score 7 points on Sundays, you're allowed. But God forbid you place a parlay, then you're cooked.
To the team I think is going to come in second, you're going to hate this take, is the Los Angeles Chargers. I think year two of Harbaugh, I like what they've done with some of the pieces and that offense. And I think they're going to instill some toughness on defense. And you have a guy who, why do you think, can go off on one of his rants on, is a franchise quarterback. How good he is, I'm not 100% sure in that realm of fantasy quarterback. But you have one, which is a plus, as we've kind of mentioned a few times here. And I just believe in Harbaugh at this point, and I think they've done a good job making this a Harbaugh team that they're just going to be very, very tough to beat. And it's weird. A weird thought I had is it's weird to say that about this team because I've always thought they were kind of candy ass with those colors. It's kind of like the Dolphins, like we've talked about,
Yeah.
but they don't play to their colors, and I think they'll be the second best team in this division.
I don't fully hate the idea. The only thing I will add is they've been the ultimate losers of preseason injuries. Rashawn Slater out for the season. Najee Harris decided that he wanted to use his head as a firework catching device and is missing time and might not be ready for week one. But yeah, I can't argue that Jim Harbaugh is an incredible coach. He's going to mold the team the way he wants it, and if you're not part of those plans, you're gone. So the longer that he stays there and the longer he gets to build his version of the football team, the better they're going to become because, like you say, he's a successful guy at the NFL level-ish. He took a mediocre 49ers team, three straight NFC title games. You know the story. He's a very good NFL coach, and we'll see what happens. But again, in Chargers fashion, they are the preseason losers with the most notable season-ending injury being Rashawn Slater.
To another good coach in the NFL, the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix's sophomore year will be the sophomore slump after somewhat quietly, I think, because of Jaden Daniels had one of the better rookie years you'll ever see. Obviously made the playoffs in that division, and I think he's in a great situation with Sean Payton at the helm there. We'll see what they can do. I don't like I'm still not crazy about like that offense weapons wise, but they kind of do their thing, and I do believe in Sean Payton. It's kind of like what you just said about Jim Harbaugh. He's a good coach-ish, right? I mean, and he did it for years in New Orleans, and I think there's no reason they can't be a very good team this year. I only have them behind LA because of the stereotypical idea. There has to be some kind of sophomore slump.
Yeah, I've got them ahead of the Chargers, but like you say, he's an incredible coach. He's always been hateable though. I don't know if it's
He's
that smug
extremely,
look
I don't like him.
or bounty.
I was gonna say with Harbaugh, I hate that I like him now. And but Sean Payton, I agree, I can't stand
Yeah,
him.
no, I don't know if it's the bounty gate all those years ago or the fact that every single time he gets in front of a camera, it looks like he's doing you a favor by being there or
Yeah,
something
he's a
with
bit of a whiner.
Yeah, whatever it is, he bet on himself and he was right. He forces Russell Wilson out. He says, I can do better with my guy. Everyone laughs at the Bo Nix pick. And then, like you say, Bo Nix turns into the second best rookie quarterback. They have the best defense in the NFL. Pat Surtain is the best corner in the NFL. It's a very tough division, but it's a good football team.
To the NFC, I think.
We got to do the Raiders, or you just
Oh,
forget them.
yeah. Dude, the Raiders, arguably one of the more forgettable ones. It's ironic that I forgot about it. I don't have a ton to. I actually don't think they'll be god awful. Like, they'll be somewhat better than last year, but I could name you maybe three players on the Raiders, and that's a problem. So,
Yeah,
take that as you.
they do lack the talent beyond a Brock Bowers, beyond a Max Crosby, and now an Ashton Jeanty. But I
That's
think,
it. That's all I can name.
you do a little better than that. They got Geno Smith now, man.
True. True. Okay.
No, the jokes aside, I think this becomes a high floor, low ceiling team. Year one of Pete Carroll, who kind of like Jim Harbaugh, is an incredible NFL coach who's going to need maybe a year to get a full regime change of his guys in there playing the way he wants to run a football team. So and they're also in an awful division. I say awful as in like bad for them because the other three teams are good. So they're at the bottom.
There's your Raiders. To the NFC East. We'll start at the top with the defending champs, the Philadelphia Eagles. Is Jalen Hurts a good quarterback? They kind of run it back, I think. I mean, we talked about this with the Chiefs, is they kind of are what they are, and they're the standard in the NFC. And I mean, aside from maybe some losses, like, will Saquon be the best running back ever, like he was last year? Probably not, but I don't think that's going to matter. That offense is still there. I know they lost. Is Dickerson out for the season now? Is that what they're saying?
No, he actually is going to probably return by week one, and I was going to bring that up. These guys have voodoo magic on their side. He goes down, he can't put any weight on his leg, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, we're dead." And then suddenly it's like, "Oh yeah, it's a torn meniscus, but he's just going to go through some procedure and we're going to target a week one return." It's like, "How does that happen for you?"
Yeah.
But in the Chargers case, it's done for the season, Rashawn Slater.
The Georgia Eagles.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is the NFC East is cursed and there's no such thing as a repeat division winner. So maybe another
True.
team thinks they have a shot.
True. What I'll call the next class of the division, that's the Washington Commanders. Year two of Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. Has Terry McLaurin been worked out yet, or is that
Nope.
still an ongoing
Nah, he's still sitting
situation?
there in street clothes.
Okay, he is still holding in, as they say. I don't know if you saw the Hard Knocks with James Cook, which ironically came out, made it about a 10-minute thing, and
He
then
signed the day after.
resigned the day of the episode, basically. But anyways, back to the Commanders. I like Dan Quinn. I like kind of the culture he's built there. I think it's unlike, Washington team, R-word teams that you've seen in the past. And I don't like see them taking a major step back. I think they maybe overperformed a little yet last year. Yes. But I personally don't see a huge step back. I think this is still a playoff team. The schedule will get significantly harder from playing the last place schedule the year before. But don't look now. I'm a believer in the Commanders, surprisingly.
I am as well. You mentioned the quote unquote R word, the former name that they had, where it seemed like with previous ownership everything was cursed. Whereas the new guy, I think his name's Josh Harris, if I'm not mistaken, but
Yes.
they've begun to do things the right way. They got aggressive. They got Laremy Tunsil from the Texans. They went out and got Deebo Samuel, and now it's just about making sure that Terry McLaurin is in contract or in uniform week one, because that would be very former team name of you to do all these things. And then the guy you just who had his just career year and was your quarterback safety blanket and wide receiver one is no longer playing because you can't get a contract sorted out with him. So get that done, and I'm absolutely with you where I think this team can do whatever they want because Jaden Daniels was that special.
To the Dallas Cowboys, they also welcome in a new coach. They've been one of the bigger storylines, I'd argue, this offseason. And we just talked about the Terry McLaurin lore, but I'd argue the Micah Parsons
Oh,
lore
yeah.
has been every bit as difficult, if not more. Jerry, at his elder age, has made, I think, things just more and more difficult for the team. And they're gonna, when he finally passes, which for a rich guy like him is probably gonna be in like 20 years, so they're gonna have to live with it. But they're gonna have to deal with a lot of unfolding. I don't know. I haven't heard much on what we're think what people are feeling and what the pulse is on the new coach. But I mean, they do have some pieces there. But if you're going to trade, what I would argue is a top five player in football, then you're going to not be a very good football team. I don't know. I could see them winning nine games, and I could see them, picking very, very high, to be honest.
Yeah,
Or low, sorry.
you talk about the Micah Parsons thing. I've actually never seen a contract dispute get this personal. I don't know if you saw
Super
Parsons put that
personal.
like 3-page just dirty laundry airing out onto social media of these guys contacted me without my agent. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. Like usually guys will say, "Oh, I want my money." I've never seen someone do what Parsons is currently doing, and I think part of it is because Jerry Jones is handling it like an idiot. That's part of it. I mean, I guess on the bright side, you get odd year Dak. If you go back and look at Dak's career, 21, 23, 19, he typically goes nuclear on the odd years. It's 2025, so maybe that'll give you some boosts if you believe in the
Interesting.
supernatural.
That's a fun stat.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm with you where there's a lot of noise to this football team, and I'm not really sure where they go with it because you've got a new coach that I don't want to say he's not going to get the respect of the players, but it's not going to, he doesn't have just that built-in cash of, hey, Andy Reid's our coach. You don't fuck around. So I think this is another, like you say, this is a team that has a wide range of outcomes, and it's typical Cowboys with a lot of noise behind them.
To what I think is probably the worst team in this division, the New York Football Giants. Although Jackson Dart has showed some promise, it's just, like as you mentioned, little stock into it. It's preseason football. They're probably going to ride with what's left of Russell Wilson this year. Well, having what I think is some pieces to like win four or five games this year, but they're still so far away. We'll see. I do think there is a sense of urgency in how this team is going to prepare, and that they do have like a veteran quarterback like that and a coach that is very much on his last leg this year, that they may get a spark from that. But other than that, like, I don't see them being any significantly better than last year.
Yeah, I remember talking about this in the draft. I didn't understand giving extensions to Daboll and Shane for 1 year and then letting them take a quarterback in the first, or letting them trade up for a quarterback in the first round, because that typically implies you have more rope than you really do. Like, are you going to draft this kid with the sense that, oh, he'll be my guy in 27 or 26, but suddenly you're fired at midway through 25 because once again your team's bad. So don't love that. But like you said, there are things. Malik Nabers was incredible last season. They also probably have what might be the scariest defensive line in football. Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, and Abdul Carter is ridiculous. So good for them. But like you said, what is left of Russell Wilson that can really drive this team to meaningful quantities of victories?
To the NFC North. I'll just say it right now. I do think this is my Lions one sentence is I think they win the division. It's not going to be as pretty as it was the past 2 years, though. So we'll move on from there. Then I have the Green Bay Packers, although they've been kind of victims of some injuries so far this training camp. They get another year with Jordan Love, who I think I'm not crazy high on. I'm actually not crazy high on the Packers at all, personally. I just do think they're just a good enough football club in enough areas that they're a playoff team, but nothing more, nothing less for me. I think Jordan Love is perfectly fine. Nothing more, nothing less for me. They have a perfectly fine receiver room with a lot of guys that are just perfectly fine. And that's kind of how I feel about the Packers, is perfectly fine.
I can't hate that too much. You draft Matthew Golden with the hope that he's not perfectly fine. He's actually good. I'll take some of your words. I'll give you one piece. Josh Jacobs was very, very good last
Yes, he
season,
was.
though I do think they ran him a lot more than they planned to with Jordan Love's injury at the beginning of the season, and then just the fact that it never really got perfectly right. They'll need him healthy, and then, like you say, the playoffs are probably a ceiling for them is like a wild card team, but yeah, I don't really see them competing with a Detroit or a Minnesota for 17 games to win a division.
And so go to Minnesota, who obviously I think is much more built to win than Green Bay, I think, slightly more actually. But they bring in JJ McCarthy this year, and that's a big what if. I'm trying not to let it be the Michigan thing, but I even when he was at Michigan, we said the thing, and I'm just not, he's truly, I'll believe it when I see it. Michigan fans are probably like slamming their head against the wall right now. They're just like, believe it when you see it. You just won 15 games in a national championship for you 2 years ago. And I was like, yeah. But I watched him throw the ball one time in the second half against Penn State. So that's my take on them. They're still built to be good. I think they're honestly right up there with the Lions, in my opinion, at this moment. I just don't trust JJ McCarthy. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, we're honestly, after that first division, we've gotten more and more in sync. I think this is all about him. We know Kevin O'Connell can get very creative with play calls and offenses and getting people kind of involved. Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold looked great with Kevin O'Connell. We know Brian Flores has those exotic defenses that put bad quarterbacks and average quarterbacks in a blender, though they struggle with the good ones who can identify what he's doing. And like you mentioned, the roster, their roster's incredible. You get Christian Darrisaw back. You have Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason. They've got pieces everywhere. It's how far can JJ McCarthy in his first meaningful football and maybe his career, because like you said, it was a lot of turnaround and handed off to Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum for the majority of his college days. So What can JJ McCarthy do when there's a little bit more onus on him passing?
And then lastly, the Chicago Bears. I do think they do take a step up this year and are much more competitive. I don't truly believe in Caleb Williams personally. This is his big show out year, obviously being a well respected 1-1 can't miss pick to be very mediocre at best in his first year. He now gets the offensive whisperer in Ben Johnson as his head coach. He's got the cute tools around him. They've put in and made the investment to protect him and give him the best chance he can to do it. Will he do it? And it was a relatively good defense last year. So it like I said on JJ McCarthy, it kind of all falls on Caleb Williams takes a step up. This team maybe wins 9 games. If they don't, they probably hover around 6 or 7 for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna copy that to a T, and I'll just go beyond that. I think this is one of the few divisions where I can genuinely make a case where any one of those teams can win the division, and I think they can also any one of them can come last. I think it's that loaded top to bottom.
I do too, and yet I don't think any of these four. We'll get into the Lions. I don't think any of these four teams are true Super Bowl contenders, but I think they're all playoff teams.
That'd be incredible if a full division made it in the playoffs. I'd love to see that one time, but I agree completely there. We'll see what happens. I am excited for that one.
To the NFC South, I think the class of this division for me is Tampa Bay. I think Atlanta's gonna have a good season, but I think for me it's Tampa Bay. Baker has proven himself. I put him on my list of top 10 quarterbacks. I can't remember if you did.
I had him at like 10.
You now get a new offensive coordinator, although it's something that Baker's had in the past. He's got the weapons. I don't really think took any steps back. Is there any word on if Godwin's gonna play? I don't think so. Is the answer like ever
I mean, they gave him
around
a
the
3-year
season?
contract. What are you talking about?
Like is he gonna play week one?
I don't know about week one, but he does have a 3-year deal, so
By
there's got to
again, I
be.
meant like this season,
Oh,
but
I mean, he'll play at some point this season, but
yeah.
that's what Ibuka's for. That's what Jalen McMillan are for. They're there to take the load off at the beginning. So they can ease him back in. They got time.
So how do you feel about the Bucks then?
I'm in the same boat. I think this is the best team in a relatively weak NFC South. You mentioned the fact that this is the third offensive coordinator in 3 years, but he did great with the second offensive coordinator in 2 years last season. So Baker has solidified himself as that piece, as that dude, and they continue to believe in him. You take a first round receiver while you have Mike Evans, while you have Chris Godwin, and while you had a pretty good rookie season out of Jalen McMillan. So there's clearly belief in him. Bucky Irving was a revelation, completely changed their running game with actually having an efficient runner as opposed to the Rashad White of. Here's 25 carries a game. You're going to get 3 yards a piece on them, and that's cool. Yeah, that's the best team in a weak division. That's all I can really say.
Next for me is Atlanta. They're gonna do the Michael Penix era. It's kind of year like 3 or 4 of just like, will this ever work out offensively with all these gadgets? I mean, you have Bijan, who I think is a world-class running back. You have the tools that have proven themselves in instances and largely been disappointing, like London and Pitts, and a guy that's gonna sling it around the yard. They've kind of been just. What I think they'll be again this year is just like, I don't know, man. They could go on a run. They could just suck. And that's kind of what I see them being this year.
Yeah, I think this is the one time I take a shot at the front office. This is a make or break year for Terry Fontenot, and he knows it based on how he handled his draft, trading away his 2026 first round pick to go back up into the first to get James Pierce after already taking I think it was Jalen Walker in the top 10. And he knows, look, like if this team misses the playoffs again, he's gone. They can't do that, like you say, 4 years in a row with all these shiny new toys and all this substance and spice and sizzle and no actual end product. So we'll see what Michael Penix as a full season of playing can do. On the bright side, if you want to look at things that maybe not a lot of teams have, kind of like the Lions, You might have the best backup quarterback in football. It's the most expensive backup
I was
quarterback in
gonna say,
football,
that's what I
but
was gonna.
I guess that's why your other quarterback's on a rookie deal. I just think this is playoffs or bust for the front office, and they know that. So we'll see. I don't believe that it works out for him. I think it's more likely bust.
Agreed. Carolina Panthers, a team that has been the bottom of the joke of the league now for several years, showed flashes at the end of the season, specifically Bryce Young, their now third year quarterback. You give him some pieces around him now. He's got the receiving room that I think is at the very least average at this point, for me. He's got Chuba Hubbard in the background. You have some belief in him going into this season, and I th unfortunately think it's just going to be what it was at the end of the year and just flashes, and that they might win six games, seven games, and because of who they're going to play in this division. But I largely don't really see them making large improvements, and I'm not a true believer in Bryce Young, unfortunately.
This is his make or break year, where, like you say, they invest the big receiver, they have the other pieces, Jalen Coker, Adam Thielen, Xavier Leggett was also a first round pick last year. It's just time for Bryce Young to show if he's going to be a good quarterback or not. If he plays at the form that he ended last season with, this team can be in a spot where they can feel good about 2026 with continuing to build. But if he reverts back to pre-benching form, then they'll be picking between Garrett Nussmeier, Lenoris Sellers, and whoever else decides to be at the top of the draft next year. The defense worries me, but it's an ass division, so there's no reason why they can't feel they can compete.
I think the New Orleans Saints, and I think when we said the worst quarterback battle, we missed one. Because this is the worst quarterback battle in all football. Between Tyler Shough, Spencer Radler, I don't know, there's a third name that they're considering too that I can't even think of. But anyways, they draft Tyler Shough in the second round. It's looking like Rattler's gonna start from what I've heard. And they're just kind of this vomit pit of, you knew it was going to happen eventually with some of those contracts and the way that roster was going. And they're unfortunately in that hole and they're in those dark days. And I actually think this is a bottom two or three team in football.
The chickens have finally come home to roost. There's no more deferring money later and later and down the line. This is where you've run out of runway. I think this is the worst team in football. I actually think the offensive line is slightly better than maybe I'd want to give them credit for. They've got back-to-back picks there at tackle. They've got some above average off interior offensive linemen with Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz. But like you say, I think let me put it this way: the Colts quarterback battle is the funniest because it's top four pick and top eight pick, and they're both ass. Meanwhile, you've got fifth round Spencer Rattler and 29-year-old rookie Tyler Shuck. So I think this is probably the worst, whereas the Colts one is just a meme. And I don't believe in this team in the slightest. I think defense is long gone from what they were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. And this is a team that's going to be probably picking quarterback again at one next season.
To the NFC West, I'll start with the top for me is the San Francisco 49ers. Yep. Everybody got hurt last year. They're coming in with vengeance. I think Shanahan is not on the chopping block, but he's being taken out of the fridge to be chopped. And that they still have the pieces, they still have the big names. Yes, they're a year older. Yes, there's some question marks, at least for me, with Brock Purdy and being a true franchise quarterback, but I do think they're just gonna, you can't be as unlucky as they were last year, and that with all those tools they still have, they are the most talented team in this division.
We really have been pretty much in lockstep after that first division. I also have the 49ers at the top. It's a much changed 49ers team to the one that made three straight NFC title games just before 2024. But they have the easiest schedule I think anybody has ever seen. And you mentioned the injuries where Christian McCaffrey comes back, Brandon Ayuk, while he won't start back, he comes back at some point. You get a healthy offensive line. You get a healthy Kittle. The defense is not, I'm gonna say back, because it's a collection of new players where they're starting to, or they're finally feeling the kind of the cap frenzy of you can't keep everyone forever. They're kind of paying their core guys, and now they have to get cheaper elsewhere. But I do agree that the return of Christian McCaffrey completely changes the way teams have to prepare for them, and opens up Brock Purdy to go look more like the guy we saw in 2023, where once again we did. I don't think you or I were ever here sitting here banging our fists on the table. This is a top 10 quarterback. This is a top 10 quarterback. But
No.
I do think that Brock Purdy, with the right pieces in play, can become an above average quarterback in the National Football League. And I think Christian McCaffrey's return to health will do that for him again.
Second, I have the LA Rams. I probably until about 2 weeks ago would have said they were my division champs. However, I'm very worried about Matthew Stafford. I don't
In
know
this
if you've seen
magical
some of
back
the,
injury.
and some of the stuff he's. You know, when we're on to holistic and wellness tables that we're in dire straits with his health. And I believe Sean McVay said 1 week that he would, if he could play today, or if we had a game today, he'd play. And then a week later said, oh, well, I don't know. So he's 37 years old. I worry about him. The rest of the roster, I think, is there and is going to be a playoff team, defensively and offensively. I know you move off of Cooper Kupp, but. You've
They
got a good
upgraded.
running game. Yes, they did upgrade. And I think if Stafford is healthy, they are, I'd argue, the second or third best team in the NFC. And without him being healthy, I think they're still in the hunt. Remind me who their backup is.
Is it Jimmy Garoppolo?
That sounds right. That sounds right. Which I think is a competent backup
Yeah,
as
that
far as
is.
backups go. But that's me for the Rams.
Yeah, the only thing I really had was, ironically, this Rams team was the ones that gave the Eagles their closest test in the NFC divisional round.
The snow did too, but
Yeah, but hey, the
we'll
Rams had the
later.
ball with 20 seconds left. They got into fringe Hail Mary territory. They just couldn't get it done. No, we're not talking about the Eagles here. Like you said, this is a team that routinely hits on mid-round draft picks. It's actually scary how good they are at doing that. You upgrade on your wide receiver too. You get to bring in old man Devontae Adams, who actually still has a little bit of juice, even while playing the last couple years with some ugly situations with where he was. They should, like you said, they should be all guns blazing for a playoff run if Matthew Stafford is healthy. But if this magical back, and I didn't realize we had turned to holistic into Eastern medicine. I thought we were still looking at Western medicine. So, yeah, that. I'd almost be ready to knock him down even a peg further if this becomes official at some point. But for now, I guess we keep our eyes out on the Rams.
The Arizona Cardinals. Oh, I didn't necessarily place these last two. They're kind of in the same realm for me of just meh. Like with Arizona specifically, obviously have the tools. Kyler's fine. He's fringes on, another guy that fringes on that franchise quarterback line. Maybe even gets somewhat of a hard rap, I think. But Marvin Harrison, largely disappointing rookie season. What can he bring you after he was kind of the biggest wide receiver prospect in quite a few years? James Conner gets another year older. You have Trey McBride. The defense revolves around one player. Will that last? He's a year older. We'll see. I don't really see them being much of a threat, but I don't think they're not a competitive football team.
Yeah, I kind of said something similar to maybe the Jags or maybe the Panthers, where I think this is make or break year for Kyler and what I'm going to call the
Definitely.
West Coast version of the Dolphins, where there's always sizzle. They always seem to start quickly, even going back to the Cliff Kingsbury days, and then they just would forget how to play football during the meaningful weeks of December and January. You mentioned Marvin Harrison. I'm very interested to see if offensive coordinator Drew Petzing decides to use Marvin Harrison Jr. as a wide receiver this year instead of just a decoy to put his head down and run 50 yards down the field, so that you can try and open up the off or the defense for your run game. Because if that's all he is for you, then you can't be you can't you wasted the fourth overall pick on a just something that you don't plan on using. With that said, though, I do think that they'll be, like you say, they'll be one of those teams where it's 8 wins, 9 wins, and you'll see them on the outside looking in the Sunday night playoff pictures, where Kornacki is going to start telling us about scenarios, and he's like, the Cardinals need this, 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 and this, and if all that happens, then they need to win one more game to get in, and then it's not going to work out for them because they're the Cardinals.
Yeah. And our final team in the NFL preview, besides the Lions, of course, is the Seattle Seahawks. They were frisky and they move off of Geno Smith and they move on to the Sam Darnold era. And after a great season and a poor ending, I think Sam Darnold gets somewhat of a bad rap for what was mostly a good season for me, to be honest. And he goes into a fairly decent situation, I think, receiver-wise. Obviously, they move on from DK, but they kind of move into Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Kenneth Walker. Like I said, they're kind of in the same realm as Arizona for me. I don't think they're not a competitive football team, but I just don't think they have quite enough, especially offensively, to truly compete in that division with the big dogs.
I'm just gonna. I think it's said. I've said a couple of times. High floor, low ceiling. You have pieces, but you don't have enough pieces. You have fundamentals, but you don't have enough pieces to make those fundamentals get you to a playoff spot. So I'm going to assume the Seahawks are on the outside looking in, maybe in a similar scenario to the Cardinals, where it's, oh, well, maybe if 15 things bounce our way in week 17, we can get in. And it's just like, well, you're probably not doing that if you need that much help.
I guess we'll end it with Super Bowl champ.
Oh God.
Way
All
too
right,
early
go.
Super Bowl champ.
All
I
right,
got
go ahead.
mine. That's crazy. The Buffalo Bills.
Dude, we are in absolute lockstep right now.
Gotta happen eventually.
Yep. I'm gonna say the Bills as well. I think the defense got much bigger, much faster, much longer. Obviously, the Josh Allen piece, as we said, if he plays the way he did last season, and even if he takes a slight step back, I think they're still going to be playing home football games in the playoffs, and I think they're gonna finally at least get to the big game, and from there it's a 60-minute ordeal. We'll see what happens.
There is something too, I think, the playoff thing of the way the Chiefs were built, beat, sorry, in that Super Bowl, where if I'm Josh Allen, if I'm Joe Burrow, I know he's beaten them. Lamar Jackson, I somewhat take a sigh of relief. And they're not quite as scary as they were. I say that to a team that's won two Super Bowls and lost the other one, but I do think there is something to it when we get down to January and February, in the way the Chiefs lost that game last year. But maybe I'm reading too much into it. So.
All right. Well, there is 31 of the 32 teams getting their preview. Obviously, the local hometown one, the most important one, will get its own dedicated thought process of further breakdowns of drafts, off seasons, additions, losses, schedules. And if you've made it this far, thank you for struggling with us through late spring and throughout the summer. But as of
Right here.
next Saturday, football is back with week zero, Kansas State, Iowa State in the Farm Classic, the Farm Bowl over in Ireland. And yeah, I'm glad to get to back to the best part of the year for kind of this podcast and for maybe sports viewing in general.
Yeah, that deserves to go green, I think, for
Go
me.
White.